few weeks ago, I had preached from Psalm 1. And today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 150. I had asked Adam to read from Revelation 4, because I had felt that that was definitely a fitting description or illustration of what Psalm 150 is all about. It's amazing to think that when God describes what happens when Jesus has come up here, and I will show you what will happen after these things. And he says that a few times in Revelation. But at this time when he says that, it's amazing that this is the picture that he wants to give us. That these elders, these people are continually, constantly worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is enthroned there. And as I said, many of us, and sometimes myself, I feel like, that just seems burdensome. But then the Spirit looks at my life, convicts me of my sin, and works and brings about, once again, a desire to have this in my life. Psalm 150, a suitable ending to this book of Psalms. And praise is what the Holy Spirit wants to secure in our hearts. Praise is what the Holy Spirit wants to secure from our lips, with our minds. It's a suitable ending to this book, because after all that's experienced, and if you'd have to read every single psalm here, but there's trials, and there's sorrows, there's temptations, there's conflict, there's disappointment, there's sickness, there's bereavement, there's persecution, there's war, there's captivity and bondage and exile, there's tears and there's pain, and there's darkness and trouble that you can read about in the book of Psalms. But yet, at the end of all things, at the end of our troubled lives, my troubled life, there is occasion for exaltation. There is occasion for triumph and praise, songs and rejoicings, praises to our God. However, as I mentioned, there are some times in our lives, in our days, when it's extremely hard to have a heart, a mind of thanksgiving and praise. Some believe the lies of the devil, the lies of the deceiver. We question God's goodness in our lives, don't we, sometimes? We question his love at times. There are times when we really don't believe that our God has our best interest in mind. There are times when we are afraid. We're anxious. We worry. There are times when we think we're the gods, the God of my life. We may think, some do think, that to hold such views of praise to God and to live with thankfulness, one would have to be brainwashed. But truly, the opposite is true. Satan has the children of this world brainwashed. And one sure way to minimize the deceiver's lies is to live our days in praise to the one true God. The truth of our situation, seen in Romans 5, verses 2 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out or poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Then in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Because our lives are lived in faith, in God's peace, in God's grace, with hope, with joy, we can truly say with the psalmist, praise the Lord. And who is this God that we praise? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our Savior. The one who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He is not a God who merely tells you, get a hold of yourself, chin up, stiff upper lip, try your best. But he is a God who has experienced all the rubbish, all the pain, all the hurt that we, many of us, experience on a daily basis. And because we are in Jesus, as we believe in him, we can say with the prophet, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, the city of God, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Because we are in Jesus Christ, this is what our hearts, our minds can say. But as we look at these verses here, it says, praise God in his sanctuary. Well, in his sanctuary, where he lives, okay? And it's obvious. It's close to him, yes? It's where he's truly worshipped. The angels are there worshipping him, the 24 elders. In his very presence, where the only holy God, perfect love, the one in perfect love, dwells and enjoys, lives, he lives in perfect harmony, perfect peace and love, perfect in relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right where he is, right in his very presence, there is holiness, there is joy. There's an aspect to this, saying this, that maybe some of us are unaware of. But as we are engaged in the ways of this life, we hear, we see authorities and leaders in different societies of our world. And when they're in public, they have a certain persona, don't they? And they put across a certain personality. Our leaders, our authorities, movie stars. Yet if we are allowed to look into their personal lives, which we are often not allowed to, we would realize they are not who we thought they were. However, our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the curtain is rolled back, when he says, come up here, when he invites you into his presence, he is more than you even thought. He is better, he is holier, he is more loving than you had ever thought. When we enter his world, he is all and more than what we perhaps believed or even knew. His sovereignty, his glory, his power, his faithfulness, his grace, his holiness, they're breathtaking. They're breathtaking. And those creatures, all they could say when they saw was, "Holy, holy, holy." Reminds us of the verses in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Very, very different than what we see in this world, what we see with those in power and those who are in control. And then it says, "Praise him in his mighty heavens, the expanse of his power, the sun, the moon, the stars, the cosmos, the universe. The power of God is displayed. This divine power is seen in God's ordering, controlling the gigantic forces of nature and the lawless willfulness of man as well. The mighty heavens put in place to assure order and well-being for us here on this earth. This is the God who we worship. This is the God who we say, praise him. We must grow. It would be good to grow. We should grow more and more a complete confidence in this God and have a growing conviction of his absolute and unquestionable power everywhere, and relationship to everything. We praise him because we feel sure that our God is mightier than the mightiest. In this psalm, we are taught the truth. We should grow in our understanding of this truth. Then it says, praise him for his mighty acts, for his mightiness, for all the times of his might, of his providence and grace, the power he has exerted in creating, upholding, and governing the world, and in redeeming and saving the human race. And then praise him according to his excellent greatness, according to the multitude of his magnificence. Now our praises cannot compare to the greatness of God. Our praises cannot compare. We cannot give him enough praise. For he is infinite, and we are finite. But because he is greater than we can express or conceive, we still must praise him. We must not be afraid of saying too much in the praises of God. Really, the danger is in our saying too little in the praises of God. We can never praise our God enough. And then the psalmist proceeds to call on all to make use of everything by instrument and voice that would in any matter set forth the praise of God. And this idea is that all these instruments here, all these voices here, would express God's praise, would celebrate God's praises, and each one, each voice, each instrument, with its own particular note, with its own particular tone, but all combined in harmony, would be employed for the praises of God, all together, praising our God as one. Often in Scripture, whether it's in Genesis or Leviticus or any of these books, God calls upon his people in an area to praise him as one. Our God is one, and he desires that his children live in harmony, live in unity, and even as we worship. The trumpet, it says, praise him with a trumpet sound, signifies the divine service. The lute and harp, they were played at celebrations. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 27 to 29, then all the men of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat at their head returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they entered Jerusalem and went into the house of the Lord with harps, lyres, and trumpets. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Using these instruments in celebration for what God had done in their lives. Then it talks about the tambourine and dance. And we're reminded of a verse in Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them. The idea of tambourine, praising God with this instrument as well. And then with cymbals, sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals, signifying great joy and great jubilation in what God had done and who he is. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All living things in the earth, the air, the waters, let there be one universal burst of praise. Let his praises be celebrated, not only with musical instruments, but let all living beings unite in that praise. Bring our all and bring our best to praise our God, to praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind, humankind, the leader of this great choir, leading the music, leading the praise and setting the tone, with all creation uniting and praising God. This is the great and triumphant song of redeemed nature and redeemed man. Praise the Lord. And then finally, as we look at verse 6, praise the Lord once again. A personal call, an application to each one of us. As I said earlier, it can never be enough. And we can never praise our God enough. And it can never be enough for us as a group of believers to praise our God together as one. With voice, with instruments, with singing. It can never be enough. And when we don't praise our God. And I understand that many of us were not able to be here on Sundays. I understand, okay? But when we're not here for a time, we really cheat ourselves. When we don't praise our Lord together, when we choose to do something else other than coming to worship, I am not going to judge anyone's motives. I encourage you to really examine your hearts and examine your minds. Ask the Lord for wisdom. As you, at times, because of work, because of family, because of things, are not able to come together as one to praise the Lord. We must praise the Lord together, a soul praise, praise at its best. The highest source of praise is the pure love of God, isn't it? To grow in our love of him as he loves us. An eternal and never-ending joy, freely, openly, non-burdensome, because our God is love. God is the desired end of love. Here is the true spring of praise and worship, our God. Love ascending out of the redeemed self to rejoice in God. This is the meaning of the psalmist here, that all created life bow itself before the majesty of God, before the beauty of his holiness, the glory of his uncreated love. His love is eternal, it's uncreated. The glory of his uncreated love. And we get to share in that as his children. We get to rejoice in that, to live in that, to bathe in that, if you want to say, to soak it in. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. However, a few voices have obeyed the summons. And I often am distracted. I'm distracted, unrepentant, I'm discouraged. And this teaching here, this truth here, is far from my heart and my mind. Yet the Spirit of God, because he is love, comes, renews, convicts, and brings me once again into worship of my Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps there are times when you are unrepentant and discouraged. Perhaps there are times when praise is far from your heart and mind. As Jesus said when he talked to John, he says, come up here. Then I would encourage you to come into the presence of our Lord and Savior and praise him. And this gives me hope. This gives me cause for joy in my God. And I must ask myself, what decisions must I make today in order that these words will willingly be on my lips as the years pass? What decisions should I make today? And not put it off till tomorrow, but today, what decisions must I make? What is the Spirit of God asking me to do today? Psalmist, and this psalm, sorry, is more than just a nice ending to the Psalms. It is a prophecy of the last result of the devout life in Jesus Christ. It is a prophecy in its unclouded sunniness, in its unclouded brightness. Proclaims the certain end of the weary years for the individual and for the world. At the end, it will be praise the Lord. And will you be one of those that will gladly bow the knee? Or will the sovereign God in his power bring that about? Perhaps not with joy in my life. Your letters of the gospel, your lights, your assault, your ambassadors, your royal priesthood. And I submit to you today that based on the scripture, that each one of you in Jesus is an instrument of his praise. What gifts, what talents, what note do you sing? And will you give yourself freely? Will you allow yourself in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ to be all that you can in Jesus Christ? Will you present yourself to him freely to be part of Jesus' eternal praise? I pray so. I pray that will be so for each one of us. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, we do thank you for all that is ours in Jesus. And Father, we know we need your help, we need your strength, we need your grace. And Father, we know that you love us, you care for us, you strengthen us, you lift us up, you hold on to us, you care, you listen, you love. We know that, Father. There are times when our hearts have a hard time with that. We ask, Father, be gracious, merciful to each one of us here, that we would love Jesus more, walk more closely with him, want to walk more closely with him, and would truly in our heart of hearts, with all that we are, with all that we have, with all that we do, truly say, praise the Lord, praise our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.